James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. An affliction means a problem that causes pain, suffering, or trouble. And when we are facing afflictions, according to James chapter 5 and verse 13, we need to pray, no matter what those afflictions are. Saturday, I was trying to finish a floor, putting in some new flooring in our home, and I was getting frustrated because the pieces weren't going together very well, and I really wanted to finish it Saturday. And my wife, Ginger, could tell I was getting frustrated. And so she came in and she said, we better pray. And so I stood up and she prayed. And then last night, I was looking at that floor and I was saying, it looks really nice. And she said, it's because we prayed. But you know, I realized I did not give thanks to God for making that to go better, because after we prayed, it did go better. And so many times we are like that. We pray a prayer and we forget all about it, and we don't realize that God has answered a prayer and we really need to thank him. Sometimes I'm like the little boy who got up on the barn roof and he wasn't supposed to be there. His parents told him not to go there, but there he was on the very top of the barn roof, and his feet slipped out from under him. I mean, it was a steep drop. He was picking up speed, and he knew that if he went off the edge, he was going to be seriously hurt or worse. And so as he's sliding down the barn roof, he's hollering out, God, help me. God, if you'll save me, if you'll save me, I'll do what my parents tell me to do. And just when he got to the edge of the roof where he was about to plummet off the side, there was a nail sticking up that caught his blue jeans and kept him from going over. Well, he took a sigh of relief and he looked up to heaven and said, never mind, God, this nail stopped me. Sometimes I'm like that little boy. I pray, and or in that case, Ginger prays, and God helps, and I forget about it. I forget to thank him, but we need to pray. When we are afflicted, we need to pray. Now, how do we pray? Well, we need to know that prayer begins with petition. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So we have to understand that our prayers have a purpose. Why are you asking? You're asking so something will be given to you. Why are you knocking? So you can go in. Why are you seeking? So that you can find something. Why do you pray? Well, your prayer needs to have a purpose. Your prayer needs to be focused on the answer that you're seeking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Again, when your child is or was hungry, whether it be grandchild or great-grandchild, you know, when they're hungry and they ask you, I'm really hungry, you give them something. They seek you help. Our prayers need to be focused on the answer. We need to know where we're going with our petition. Too many times our prayers are way too broad, way too unfocused. It's kind of like a lady who called the airline and she wanted to book a flight from Chicago to Hippopotamus, New York. And so the lady on the other end of the line was saying, Hippopotamus, New York. And she began to put that into her computer and she said, I'm sorry, ma'am, we have looked all over the nation and we have no airports in a city called Hippopotamus. And the lady said, oh, everybody knows where Hippopotamus is. Just look at a map and you'll find Hippopotamus. And so the lady pulls up her screen at a map and she says, ma'am, do you mean buffalo? And she said, that's it. I knew it was a big animal. And sometimes our prayers are like that. We're not focused enough to understand where we need to go. And if we don't understand where we need to go, our prayers are just too unfocused. We need to be focused on a prayer on what the answer is we're seeking, what we are looking to find. E.M. Bounds was, many of you have heard about his writings and wrote some amazing things on prayer years and years ago. And he said, thus, in every circumstance of life, prayer is the most natural outpouring of the soul, the unhindered turning to God for communion and direction, whether in sorrow or in joy, in defeat or in victory, in weakness or in health, in calamity or in success, the heart leaps to meet with God, just as a child runs to his mother's arm, ever sure that her sympathy will meet every need. So we need to be focused on our prayers. Our prayers need to be about our petitions. But we also need to focus on the promises of God. And I think that's where I fail in my prayer life. I don't combine the prayers and the promises enough. And so I want to read something else E.M. Bounds wrote. He said, promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. So promises are God's golden fruit to be plucked by the hand of prayer. Promises are God's incorruptible seed to be sown and tilled by prayer. Now in Jeremiah 29, I want to use a scriptural example here. Jeremiah 29 verse 10. Thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. So Jeremiah, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing, you'll be in Babylon for 70 years. After 70 years, I'm going to bring you back to Israel. He goes on to say, and this is a passage many are familiar with, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. So here's God's instructions. His promise is 70 years, you get to come back. But he also says, I want you to seek me with all your heart. Well, then we go to Daniel chapter 9. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So here's what's going on. Daniel is reading the book of Jeremiah, and he comes across what we just read, and he realizes those 70 years are almost up. And so what's his response to the promise of God that after 70 years you go back to the land? His response is listed here. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. You see, he finds in the Bible a promise for God, but he doesn't just sit back and say, amen, praise the Lord, you know, that's going to be great. He sets himself to do some serious praying. God, I've seen where your promise is written in your word, and I'm going to do some serious praying. I'm going to ask you to fulfill that promise. Charles Spurgeon wrote, every promise of Scripture is a writing of God, which may be pled before him with this reasonable request, do as thou hast said. The Creator will not cheat his creature who depends upon his truth, and far more, the Heavenly Father will not break his word to his own child. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope, is the most prevalent pleading. It is a double argument. It's your word, will you not keep it? Why have you spoken of it if you will not make it good? You have caused me to hope in it. Will you disappoint the hope that you have yourself begotten in me?" So here's the point. The promises of God and our prayers need to be joined together. It's not just that we pray random stuff. It's that we go to the Bible and we read this in the scripture and we pray the scripture. God, it's your word. You fulfill it. Our prayers and the promises of God need to go together. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, a leper came to Jesus and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.'" Now, faith and prayer need to be centered on Christ's ability to do something. And when we give up on the idea that Christ can do something to help us, that's when we give up on prayer. Faith has to be cultivated by prayer. Faith has to be nurtured and made powerful through prayer. And without faith, prayer will not work. And without prayer, faith will not work. They go together. So praying and the promises, they need to be joined together. We need to look at the Bible not just as a passage of scripture to memorize, but as something to pray about. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, "When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' And then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" So remember, he's saying because of your unbelief. But now listen a little further. "Assuredly, I say to you that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." So again, the promise and the prayers. When there's some serious work that needs to be done in prayer, you need to join the promises with the prayers with the promises of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 8. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them," Jesus commanded them, "not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Wait for the promise. There's the promise. "Which he said, 'Have you heard from me? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" You see, that ability to witness, that power was going to come from the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And what was their response to this promise? Well, look down at verse 14 of Acts chapter 1. And it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." So their response to the promise of God was to pray, and to pray seriously. And so it needs to be our response to the promises of God to pray. We need power in our churches at this age in America. We need soul winning, shaking kind of power that changes our communities. And that's not going to happen until we combine the promises of God, our faith in the promises of God, with our prayers. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 4 tells an interesting story. They are facing persecution, and they are being threatened by the high priests. And so we pick it up in verse 24. "So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. What do they do? They're quoting scripture. You see, what they must have done is they're dealing with this problem is they go to the Bible and they say, here's this scripture, here's this scripture. These are the scriptures we're going to pray. These are the promises we're going to pray. And that's what they did. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. This is what we lack. And this is what we've been lacking in the American church. And I think it's just because our prayers have not been following the scriptural example of you go to the Bible, you find the promises of God, and you pray those promises. You pray, Lord, this is what you said. We are praying your promises, God. We ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We ask you to give us boldness. You see, they prayed in such a way, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And every time this happened, you discover a lot of people got saved. And we need a lot of people getting saved today. We need a lot of people getting saved today. So we need to pray with the petition in mind. Our prayers need to be focused. We need to pray with the promises in mind. When we're afflicted, there's a promise somewhere that God has for us that we can look at and apply and pray that promise for our heart and our life. Remember, James said, when you're afflicted, pray. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. How? Prayer. Prayer, focus on it. Lord, you know, I'm afflicted. I'm going through this trouble. Help me to find a promise that'll bring healing to me. Petition, prayer. And then the last thing is we need to pray with persistence. Jesus wants us to pray with persistence. In Luke chapter 18, he says in verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And how many times have we lost heart in our prayers? I know in one church that I was at, there were two ladies that met for 20 years and prayed for one of their husbands to be saved. 20 years. And the man was, he was probably in his 50s when he got saved. So their prayer was answered. They prayed for 20 years, and the man was saved. And he became a rock in that church. He just became a real delight in the community, and the witness that he had was wonderful. Men are always to pray and not lose heart. And then he illustrates it. He says, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So here's the attitude that the woman had. I'm just going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming and coming and coming. And so here's the attitude we need to have And the attitude that God is looking for us to have, Lord, I'm hanging in there. I'm not going to quit. This is something serious. Lord, I've got a petition on my heart. I've got a promise from your Bible, and I'm going to persist, and I'm going to persist, and I'm going to persist, and I'm not going to quit. And when God sees that in your heart, he smiles. He says, that's the kind of faith that really blesses my heart. Well, let me finish this. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You see, what defines our faith is the persistence that we just won't let go of it. We won't quit on the promise of God. We're going to hang in there. That persistence is what defines our faith. You know, there's a lot of times I've prayed for a little while and then I gave it up. I didn't have much faith, did I? I need to keep praying. We need to keep praying. We need to hang in there and persist. We need to focus on the petition. We need to have a very focused petition. We need to go to the promises of God. We need to have God, this is what your Bible says right here, chapter and verse. And we need to persist in our prayers. I want to tell a story, and I'll finish with this. D.L. Moody's church was burnt down in the great Chicago fire of 1872. And while the new church was being built, he went to England not to preach, but to listen to others preach. And one Sunday morning, he was prevailed to go to preach at a church in London. And so he did, but it was just, he said he had a terrible time trying to preach there. He said it was just so dry. He felt like he was preaching to people who were spiritually dead. Well, he had to go back that night. He wasn't really looking forward to it. But when he went in that night to preach, it felt like a very different church. As he stood in the pulpit, he said, and I'm going to quote him, "The powers of an unseen world seem to have fallen upon the audience." Well, he gave an invitation for salvation, and 500 people rose to their feet. Now, he thought they didn't understand what he was asking, so he had them sit down and delivered another invitation, couching that invitation in more challenging terms, and once more, 500 people stood. Well, he had them sit down again because he felt like they got to be misunderstanding what this invitation is about and how serious salvation is. And so he said, if you want to be saved, I want you to meet me in the vestry of the church. And at the end of the service, 500 people were gathered in that vestry. That night, a great revival broke out in that church and it broke out in that community. But there's an interesting sideline to this story. One of the women in that church who was there that Sunday morning went home. And she had a sister who was an invalid. She could not get out of the house and she couldn't go to church. And so her sister said, how were things at church today? And she said, well, we had a preacher from America, some guy named Moody. And the woman, the invalid, said, you had D.L. Moody from Chicago preaching in our church today? And she said, that's right. How do you know him? She said, I prayed 2 years ago that God would send him to our church. I wish I had known he was coming to our church. She said, sister, don't bring me any food today. I'm going to fast all day. And sister, I want you to close the door, and I don't care who comes to see me. I'm not going to have any visitors today. This day, I am going to spend in prayer and petition and pleading with the Lord to bring revival to our church. Well, her prayers were certainly answered. We have to understand that prayer and the promises have to go together, and we need revivals in our churches, all over our associations, in our communities. We have seen the very definition of backsliding happening in the last 25 years. I mean, if you just look back 25 years ago and you look at some of the things that are happening now, just 25 years ago, you would have been shocked if you realized that was going to be happening now. We need revival. And those revivals are going to happen when we as Christians join our petitions. We have petitions focused, but we join those petitions with the promises of God. It's the prayer, the promises of God, and we just persist at it. We just hang in there. We just hang in there. You think, you know, I don't care whether you're taking your last breath. You don't give up on that prayer, because you know how many prayers God has answered when somebody got to heaven? I wonder how many people are up in heaven when here comes an angel and says, oh, by the way, one of your prayers got answered. Somebody in your family you prayed for a long time got saved. So I hope we will commit ourselves to praying the promises of God and persisting. We need revival. We need revival, Brother Jeff.